My name is Giorgio Settis. I'm the co-founder of Nutrafol.
My hair started thinning in my early 20s. I tried everything and nothing was really working. So we created Nutrafol. Our hair growth supplements undergo clinical trials and have helped millions of men and women get visibly thicker and stronger hair in just 3 to 6 months.
Hair growth starts from the inside at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com.
St. John's, that one screwed me. And then, get over here. I had UCLA losing it to see. Yep, that's right.
I don't know. I had Arkansas only because I literally heard.
That's what it was. I didn't have BYU. I had Wisconsin over BYU.
Yeah. No, I had BYU losing in the first round. That was brilliant on my part. But
those guys could fucking score.
And I had Memphis beating Colorado State in the first round and going to Sweet 16 or Elite 8 or something stupid like that.
Rabbit.
No, I wasn't the Elite 8, but I haven't gone to Sweet 16, I think. And
I did have
Arkansas.
Memphis was another one. Pundits love Penny Hardaway, so.
Well, that got a lot of attention because Colorado State was favored as a 12 over 5, and there was a lot of attention there. I did have Arkansas solely because I heard an interview with Coach Cal during the week, and I was like, oh, I'll pick him. And so, even though he in the interview was like, I only got 7, he literally was. They asked him about it in the interview. They were like, do you have any concerns that you're only playing with 7 right now? And he's like, it's a little known secret in college basketball, but I only need 5. And so, they're all laughing or whatever. But now he's got a player back, so he's got 8 now. And it's like, ooh, we got 8. So it'll be good. But that's enough college basketball talk on this program. Let's actually have ourselves a wrestling program.
Oh, Phoenix!
Hey, yo.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
It's Patrick O'Dowd.
You straight punk bitch!
I mean, you're just gonna replace me.
Shut up!
Randy Morales,
the biggest slut in the Western Hemisphere!
Why do I have to have a buzzer?
And Greg DeMarco.
You are now and will forever be an asshole.
Because it's my show.
And I love you, Greg.
You guys know how to party.
You're welcome.
Welcome. As you heard during the beginning of this program, we are deep into the NCAA tournament. Patrick O'Dowd giving you the overview. You only caught the tail end of the overview of Patrick O'Dowd's bracket and what I can remember from my bracket because I really don't care. And so I don't record a podcast on college basketball on occasion like Patrick O'Dowd does with PC Tunney, which you can hear right here on the Chairshot Radio Network at thechairshot.com.
Tuesday.
Not this Tuesday, though, because apparently, as Dave Meltzer would say.
Tony's under the weather. He was sick, so he can't.
I'm promoting the website. Shut the fuck up.
TheChairShot.com.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
You're going to have to unmute yourself now. I don't think I can unmute you. Oh, I can unmute you. All right. I didn't realize that I could do that.
You muted you. I didn't see it had the little mute icon next to your name, not my name.
Oh, okay. I don't know. It just was your picture and I pushed the mute button. So.
Oh, it's fine.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess I have to
so angry, man.
I have to go. Cause you're impeding progress, Patrick O'Dowd. You are Typical Democrat. You're impeding progress.
I'm a much better sports podcaster than I am a wrestling podcaster these days. We both
do. Exactly. No pop.
That's true. That's true. That's why we're going to talk about wrestling. Before we talk about wrestling, though, Patrick O'Dowd, I want to have basically, as I'm sitting there today and I'm planning out the podcast, and I'm like, what are we going to talk about? And I got some cool shit. I've sent myself some articles. You know, I love us talking about some articles on the podcast. I got some really good ones. One that I'm super excited to talk to you about because it comes from Eric Bischoff. And whenever Bischoff speaks, it's very polarizing, likely on purpose. But I was a little taken aback by some comments by Eric Bischoff. And so I do want to talk to you about those. But before we do that, Patrick O'Dowd, I think the people who listen to this program, they need a little check-in. You know, it's spring. It's almost the end of March. So we're almost 25% of the way through the year as things roll on, Patrick O'Dowd. Tell the people how you're doing, what kind of shit's going on. Like, update the listening folk on the wrestling realist, Patrick O'Dowd. It could be something you're watching that you like. It could be like your recent bowling escapade. As you can tell, I did not prepare Patrick O'Dowd for this. It could be whatever the hell you want. I won't tell you to shut the fuck up like I did earlier when you were trampling over me promoting the website and the network. But now you're rolling your eyes. It's a podcast. We're not supposed to always be on the same page and get along. It's a podcast. It's entertainment. But anyway, entertain the people with your life. You're entertaining life, Patrick O'Dowd.
Such as it is. Well, with the NCAA tournament thing, I got to do the tradition. I got to take my 2 days off of work. I got to introduce myself to a fine member of the wait staff at Buffalo Wild Wings and told them, sit me in a position where I can see all four of the games at once. And this dude not only did that, he actually pointed to each TV and was like, this will have this game. This will. Like, he put each network up.
Look at that.
So I could sit there and my buddy Jake from Connecticut, not State Farm, came.
I was thinking it.
Hung out with me. And probably the highlight of that whole basketball bracket tracking experience was that they were trying to get rid of the seasonal Sam Adams keg. And so every beer from that keg was $3. And $3 beer at a Buffalo Wild Wings is a steal. So I got to enjoy cheap beer, mediocre wings, and watch some college hoops, which is my happy place of all happy places. And then you asked me what I'm watching. I have gone so far down the bowling rabbit hole that I now watch professional bowling. Like, I don't just watch it when it happens to be on. I record it and watch it later.
You are recording it. You are recording it.
Well, last week was like pinnacle bowling on television week because it was five nights of bowling championships, one right after another in Reno because it was the World Series of Bowling and then the PBA World Championships. And the World Series of Bowling is really kind of interesting because each tournament is centered around a different oil pattern. And so there is like one of the patterns is called the scorpion pattern. And they all just act differently. So bowlers with, you know, you have to be really good about like what kind of gear you use. You know, some oil patterns favor guys who throw harder with more revolutions on their ball. You know, or the other patterns are more for guys who are long and straight. And then the World Series of Bowl or the PBA World Championships, that's a different pattern every year. And it's aimed at getting the best of the best. And my favorite bowler to watch right now is a guy named EJ Tackett. EJ Tackett is the number one bowler in the world right now. He has made seven consecutive PBA television appearances. And for those who don't know, a bowling tournament, to make a television appearance in a bowling tournament, in a professional level bowling tournament, it's not like your typical bracket. Like, you have to go through prelims, mm-hmm. you have to make a cut, then you have to bowl a series of matches against folks in different brackets to work your way into a final cut of a single elimination, one shot, and you're done, stepladder style tournament. And so it is very rare to see somebody on TV twice in a row, let alone seven times. And this guy did it. And in this string of five televisions, he won one of the World Series matches. I can't remember which pattern. And then he, and probably arguably the second, the most famous bowler currently, Belmonte, Jason Belmonte. He and Jason Belmonte were the final two in the PBA World Championships for the finals. Like, it was a bowling nerd's dream to watch. And EJ Tackett is just another level of consistency as a bowler. He's so good. And it's amazing how, like, you have to be amazing to bowl the way he does.
See, one of those two-handed bowlers that I told you about?
EJ? No.
Good.
EJ, this is what makes him so unique, because Belmonte is. Belmo is the guy who really kicked off the two-handed bowling craze, because he came on the scene with his two-handed bowling style. And those bowlers are known for being, like, really strong speed, high revolution bowlers. EJ Tackett, as a one-handed right-hand bowler, averages 500 RPMs on his bowling ball when he throws it. It is the most in the league. And he averages about 18 miles an hour a shot. Like, it's crazy. And he doesn't look like he's putting any effort at all when he throws the ball. Like, when you watch him shoot a bowling ball, you just, it's so effortless right now. And there's a reason he's the best bowler in the world right now. It's unreal. He's remarkably consistent and he's devastatingly effective.
So at this point in the program, Patrick O'Dowd talked about bowling more than he talked about college basketball. That's where we're at. That's where we're at right now.
I've watched more bowling recently than I have college basketball. Makes sense.
So let me ask you this. Would you ever get to the point, I'm not saying you're at this point now, would you ever get to the point where you would say, go to Reno to be at something like this live? Like,
I don't know if
is there value there?
Like, to go and see that, I would,
especially when it's two back to back like that.
I would definitely love to see in person a televised, like, bowling event. And you don't have to go to Reno to do it. Like, they go all over the country. There's centers all over the place. Reno is just the bowling capital of the world, oddly enough. But it would be fun. I would enjoy that, especially now that bowlers have more personality. Like, it's not like bowling on television in the 80s. And you really have Pete Weber to thank for that. Like, I can't remember what it is.
Hey, he was just cutting wrestling promos the whole time.
Well, and he used to do the DX chop when he would win every once in a while.
And of course, he did the Rob Van Dam. He was PTW. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He would point at himself. He was the personality that really made it. And then there's other guys. Kyle Troop, who's one of those two-handed bowlers that you talk about. He's got the big afro, white fro.
Yeah.
He's a popular person.
Because I saw bowling when I was at the gym that time, and he was one of the ones that I told you about.
Yeah.
Because he was the one. But he was the big afro. Why, is Pete Weber, like, not a commentator? Like, you would think that Pete Weber would be commentating on this stuff. Like, him being the legend, him being...
I don't know what he's up to these days. Like,
according to his Wikipedia, a whole lot of nothing.
Yeah, like, he bowls on the seniors every once in a while, but you know, his dad was also really famous too, Dick Weber.
I mean, he joined the PBA 50 Tour in 2013. So that's 12 years ago that he joined the senior circuit. They won't call it the senior circuit anymore. It's the
right.
So yeah, he still does all-star events, including his own tournament.
Yeah,
the Pete Weber Classic. And actually recently did one here at Phoenix Raceway. Oh, that's no. That, the barn at Phoenix Raceway. I don't think that is here, actually. No, it is here. I guess they call it Phoenix Raceway. They keep changing the name of these things out here. So,
I mean, the man's 62 years old, so.
He could still commentate. JBL's like in his 60s. Come on now.
Well, but you got a PBA one. It's the same two guys.
Right.
Every show. and the same woman that does like the interviews in between. Like, that's just, I can't, I don't know their names. Don't ask me their names. I always think it's funny every once in a while. John Fanta, who, the only reason I know who John Fanta is because he is a personality on the Field of 68 NCAA podcast. Every once in a while, he does bowling events for Fox. And I'll be like, hey, you're the big St. John's UConn mark. Fucking Mr. Big East over here. He loves it. He loves him some bowling. But no, I would, I actually, if you were to ask me what I would more be interested in doing, is I would definitely someday want to get out and bowl the USBC national tournament at some point.
Yeah.
And that's because the open tournament, and it usually fluctuates between Vegas, Reno, and this year I think it's in New Orleans. That is a, that's a multi-day trip that I got to convince the Mrs. O'Dowd
right.
is worth me taking. But it'd be fun to do once.
I think so. I mean, why not? Right.
I've got a few people that have been on me about, you know, you really like, I'm going to get you out there one day. And I'm like, all right, I believe you. I do think it'll happen eventually.
Right.
Not this season though. This has not been a good bowling season for Patrick.
No.
Like, I shot a 671 series this past Monday, and that was amongst the best that I've shot all season. I've been very up and down. Very up and down.
Exactly. No pop.
Now that we've killed the audience, very completely much. Killed the audience, and now
you
no
asked.
One. I did ask.
You did
this, should have
this,
fucking
you
known.
You did this to the podcast.
I did not know it was going to go into the bowling rabbit hole. I had no idea it was going to go into the bowling rabbit hole. I've gone back and forth on the things that I will use as my story, and I think I'm going to go. So last week on this program, I talked about how I started watching Heels, right? And I was watching Heels on Netflix, and I loved it. And how could I not love it, right? You think about everything like totally in Greg DeMarco's wheelhouse, right? So I get through, there's only two seasons, only 8 episodes a season. So it's not like there's a ton of, I mean, that's 16 episodes. There are some shows that have more than one season, right? So I get through the end of season 2. And I told you I was going to be disappointed. I told you I was going to be upset because there were going to be some things left unresolved. What I didn't know was that they were going to leave fucking everything unresolved. And just
thought they were going to get a third season. That's why.
But I mean, dude, like, so Jack Spade, which is Stephen Amell's character, he runs a Duffy Wrestling League in Duffy, Georgia, old town. Every Friday night or Saturday night, they have the wrestling, like very old school. Right. And then in Florida, Jacksonville, and I don't think it was Jacksonville because of AEW. I think it was Jacksonville because of how close it would be to, like, it's within driving distance of Duffy, Georgia. They have the Florida Wrestling Dystopia, FWD, and their promoter, and he's trashing the Duffy Wrestling League because he's like new school, blood, flames, lights, pyro, the whole thing, right? Whereas Duffy's very old school. So, and he's stealing Duffy's talent. And so Jack Spade goes down there and they're trying to steal his brother, Ace Spade. Their dad was Tom King Spade, so King, Ace, Jack, if there's ever a woman to be Queen Spade, right? He ends up punching the promoter in the face a few times, and this promoter, it's a giant pussy, sues him, and the resolution is that in order to drop the lawsuit, they will do some joint shows together. And the purpose of the joint shows is for the Florida Wrestling Dystopia promoter to end up on top. Right. So they but Jack Spade writes the storylines because he's the story driven person and not the shock value driven person. And so the ultimate storyline, they're at the Duffy Wrestling League arena, the barn, whatever you want to call it. And Ace Spade is going to wrestle like the big guy from FWD. That guy decides to jump ship and go back to Duffy Wrestling. So all part of the storyline now. So Jack Spade, the leader of Duffy Wrestling League, of course, is going to turn on his own company. Fight his brother. It's a last man standing match. And the whole point is for Jack to end up on top so that the Florida Wrestling Dystopia guy ends up on top. Jack really wants his brother to win. And because his brother's gone through, you know, his brother's the one that does the coming of age story throughout all of season 2, right? So Jack hits a shooting star press at the end to finish off his brother. And he's telling his brother, get up, get up, get up. And his brother's like, no, you're supposed to win. You're supposed to win. Now, if it doesn't go according to plan, this guy's going to sue the pants off of Jack. Like, that's the deal, right? And then Jack literally rolls over to his brother and he's like, I can't stand up. Like, I'm injured. I can't stand up. So Ace stands up. He wins. So now we got the rival promoters like, I'm going to ruin you, sue you for everything you're in. Jack's wife is like, what's wrong, up against the ring? And he looks at her and he goes, I can't feel my legs. And they might as well have just done a fucking Michael Bay ending at that point. I have never, Patrick O'Dowd, I'm 48 years old. I have never hit the close button on the browser, slam my laptop shut, and started going up the stairs. And everyone's sleeping at this point, right, in the house except for me. But if they weren't, I would have been screaming expletives at the top. I was so goddamn mad because I was never going to find out what happened, ever. Now, Stephen Amell has said there's hope that because Netflix picked it up, it'll come back. I think he's hoping like Cobra Kai, right? But I was so fucking – they literally left everything unresolved that could possibly be unresolved. Yes. And then yeah, I read some articles,
very much sounds like a show that fully intended to be back for a third season, obviously. Yeah. And the rug got pulled out from underneath it. That's one of the things that, like, my current favorite show that I'm watching right now, that I preach to from the mountaintop to go watch is Severance.
I've heard a lot about it. I haven't seen any of it, but yeah, I've heard
it is. And for, in my opinion, it is the best science fiction television series that has been made in the last decade, if not longer. And I am not being hyperbolic. I think it's fucking brilliant. Both seasons have ended with like huge cliffhanger moments. And after the first season ended, it was such a risky show. It was like, is it going to come back? 3 years later, we finally got season two.
3 years later.
3 years later. Now, Apple has come out and said, Severance is renewed for season three. I need it to not last 3 years before we get to the next one. The show is so brilliant. But, yeah, that sucks about Heels. And I remember when that cancellation got announced, like, there was a lot of disappointment. You know, Stephen Amell, obviously, very disappointed. Because he put a lot into that show. Mm-hmm. Like, he sure poured did. A ton into that, making that thing happen. Which, by the way, for anybody who was like, oh, the fucking Arrow guy's on, you know, in WrestleMania, the dude was legit about his passion for professional wrestling.
He wrestled it all in. He wrestled Christopher Daniels all in.
Yeah. Like, no, I'm just saying, like, with, you know, back when he did the, what did he do back with Cody at the WWE? Like, that's a million years ago, back when he was an Arrow guy. And people were like, you know, because they're pissy little bitches. Like, that guy got the, like, that guy understood the company and loved him.
But this is what I felt like, right here.
Yeah. Directed by Michael Bay.
Like, this is not the best video for it, because it just goes right to the... It doesn't have the Transformers lines before it, but I was so fucking mad. I was so pissed.
I actually saw a TikTok where somebody was at a concert where that band was performing, and when they hit that point, he holds up a sign that says, written and produced by Michael Bay.
Oh, I'm sure.
It fills the whole TikTok camera. It's hilarious.
I'm actually, I was talking to, because I got, there's this one person who loves to send me all the Michael Bay ending memes. And that just, it's funny too, because they're all like amazing, shocking things. Which is not what happens in Transformers at all. It's just him saying the line and then ding, ding, ding. Like, it just goes right to it. I think we always play Home Sweet Home at the end of our IZW events. I think now, as soon as Miranda does the show close and she's like, good night, everybody, we're going to hit that, I think is what we're going to do. And I'm going to turn the lights on. Like, I'll stand there by the lights. And as soon as Josh hits it, I'll turn the lights on. And so it'll hit right at the perfect time. We'll even practice it because we're stupid. So that's kind of my thinking, is that we'll pull something like that for, I already told a couple of people and they think it's great. So, and you know, some fans won't care, but the ones that do care, we'll get a giant ass kick out of it. It's like when WWE,
you know, crowd will be
exactly like when WWE books something for the hardcore fans, they go crazy. The 95% of the audience doesn't give a fuck. They just like it. So it's kind of what happens there. So that's what I think we're going to do. And I think it'll be fun. But that was my story, the opposite of Patrick O'Dowd's. I haven't even started a new show yet because I think that this happened on maybe Friday, Thursday. I don't know. But I was so mad. I was literally like,
what are you actually looking to watch?
I don't know. I got a few things that I've started on Netflix that I could potentially go back and finish. I'm probably going to do the 3-season Daredevil and then watch the new one. That may be, had the son and I have talked a great deal about that. So yeah, we'll see.
I have long said season one and two are great. Season three is good, but I think it's the weakest of the three out of the Netflix. Like it's not bad by any stretch of the imagination, but
people seem to love it. That season.
I don't want to taint your view.
Yes. Don't taint.
I just thought that's
no taint.
But season one, I loved season one because it was so different than what you were seeing in the MCU, in terms of what you were seeing on the big screen. And I thought people are very critical of that because you don't see the iconic Daredevil suit. It's right. the Man in Black suit. And that was kind of the point. But it has arguably one of the best fight scenes ever in its second episode. So I don't know.
I
love the story. I love the way you tell it.
You say kind of the point, and I don't have this on the rundown for this week. At least I don't think I do. And the thing, no, I don't. So WWE has been doing this angle with Chad Gable where he'd gone to Mexico and he's supposed to like learn all the secrets of being a luchador. And comes back, and then this new luchador shows up wearing all red, white, and blue stuff, red, white, and blue mask, and he's instead of saying thank you, he says gracias, and it's obviously Chad Gable, and he's El Grande Americano. I'm sure you've seen reports about the name, but the highlight video that they use for El Grande Americano on Raw this Monday was completely AI driven. Right. And like there's points, if you pause it, apparently like someone will have six fingers, like just all the hallmarks of AI, right? Illegible text in the background, like all of it. And people are online are like, this is such a poor job by WWE. How could they use AI? Blah, blah, blah. And Chad Gable's denying that he's El Grande Americano. And Michael Cole's on commentary. He's like, I've done all this research on this guy. I can't find a single fucking thing. Like, I don't think this is real. And people are complaining about WWE's use of AI. And I'm like, that's the point. He's faking the whole thing. Now, I don't want to go into it because they don't do this on this show. But the fact that El Grande Americano is being billed as being from the Gulf of America, like, there's some MAGA coding in this thing that I don't want to talk about right now.
Oh, yeah, very much.
Because then we'll get into, like, who wasn't at the January 20th Raw that people don't know weren't at the January 20th Raw because they were at the inauguration. Both backstage people and wrestlers that hasn't really come out, but JBL might have slipped it into a recent episode of his podcast. So little things like that would really sour some people on.
Look who was sworn in at the Department of Education.
That I understand Secretary because that's their mother.
Their family. It is. Yeah. It's their family and their mother. Also directly and heavily tied to the president of the United States. Like, derp.
People don't understand.
You have to have something in common with him for him to like you that much to put you in his cabinet.
But that doesn't mean that her kids and the rest of her family are all part of the party, even though they are.
Yeah, I was like, oh.
People, and then I was having this conversation with somebody today. I was like, look at everything that's under the TKO banner. The UFC, WWE, and PBR, Pro Bull Riders Association. Like, I'm sorry. Like, this is the most MAGA organization there is. Like, love it if you want to. And here's the other deal. Tony Khan's dad donated tons of money to Donald Trump at one point. So,
yeah.
Like, everyone's going to immediately, and I guess Tony Khan was going to run for office at one point. He was going to do it as a Democrat. Who knows? He probably did that just to get the other fans on his side. I don't know, and I don't care. But, like, that whole El Grande Americano, like intentional or not, is quite MAGA coded, and it's still funny. It's still enjoyable. Yeah. People are way overthinking it by complaining about the AI, and that's what they're doing. But I wasn't going to talk about that today anyway. So now we did. That's as political as Greg gets. So don't worry about that. We're going to go commercial. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about some wrestling.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, folks. PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
They are now the two-time WWE Tag Team Champions.
So, Patrick O'Dowd, what I just played for you was the brand new theme song of the Street Profits. Okay? Everyone's always complaining about WWE theme songs. So I just played for you that just debuted this past Friday on SmackDown. Of course, they are your new WWE Tag Team Champions. But let me play it again for you. Okay? Brand new theme song of the Street Profits. Okay, all right. Let me go back to what I like to play on this show. Let's go back to the Street Profits.
They are now the two-time WWE.
Greg, what are you saying?
I'm not, I hate the theme songs guy. I hate those people online where they all complain about theme songs. But I mean, come on!
They are now the two-time WWE Tag Team.
I'm sorry, I was too loud. I couldn't hear you. What was that?
I'm not seeing it. I don't know what you're talking about.
You're not seeing it. Is it John Cena? Is that why you're not seeing it?
No.
Still my favorite joke was like somebody pissed off that he turned heel.
I recorded a podcast talking about how music can be nuanced and different, and now you play this for me, and I'm like, I can't.
It's like that meme where they show two different pictures and she's like, it's the same picture. Yeah.
It's the same picture.
It's the same goddamn song. Like, it's just, and as soon as I heard it, I was like, it's a banger theme, but it's also fucking the remix of Solo's theme, basically. Like, it's like, they didn't even try.
No, but it's, you gotta be, no.
It's like when Vanilla Ice was trying to claim he didn't sample Under Pressure from Queen. Like, he just tried. He's like, no, it's different. It's totally different. We're like, Rob, it's not different. Like, I'm sorry.
Rob.
It's just not different.
Did you just do that?
Don't give me. You, I would say you've been Phil and CM Punk for years. Don't even try it.
Hey, you know, Phil is in a pretty important match this.
And as luck would have it, Patrick O'Dowd, that's the first topic I wanted to talk about today, 30 minutes in the program about pro wrestling.
Phil?
Sort of. So here is the headline that I will read. Eric Bischoff, : Roman Reigns, CM Punk, and Seth Rollins won't benefit from
this
triple threat main event. So here's the quote, because I did not hear it. I think three ways. I've said it a bunch of times. My opinion, it's a cop-out. Unless there are three really good stories that need to collide in the ring, in order to come to an end, it's just an attraction. It's an excuse to get big names in the ring so you get headlines, so to speak. These are your top guys. They're all going to be in the ring at the same time. But unless there's a reason for it, if you can't tell me why they're all in the ring and why it should be a main event, then it shouldn't be a main event. He continues, it's all about the why. Why would you do that? You've got, I don't know, maybe I should step back from it. Let's ask the question. What would any of these guys, how would they all benefit from being in the ring with each other from perception point of view? Short answer is they won't, because they're already at such a high level. Is Roman Reigns going to be more over as a result of being in this match? Unless there's a wacky finish, is Rollins, is Punk? No, they're not going to benefit at all from this trifecta. If there's not one talent that's going to get over as a result of this above the others, there's no motivation in that regard. Why do it? I kind of think it dilutes all three. If there's no story and there's no emotion because there's no why, there's no reason for anybody to get behind it one way or another, then it's just an attraction match. Yeah, it'll matter a little bit. People will be happy to see it because you got three big stars, but it won't mean much. Patrick Dowd, he watches less wrestling than you do, based on this comment.
So, true story. After that quote, I turned the podcast off and clicked Marcus played. Because I was like, even I know that you have, like, tell me you haven't been watching the, like, what they've been doing to lead to this match without telling me you haven't watched to see what they've been
like,
doing.
Like, I kind of want to tune in and find it just to hear what Conrad says after that. Because
I could, like.
Like,
and,
how?
And you know, I enjoy hearing him talk when he's talking about something that he actually is aware of and knows about. But. Like you said, I watch less wrestling than he does, and I know enough, minimally, the Punk Rollins history, you know,
yeah,
has been there for multiple years.
And the Reigns Rollins history has been there for, the turn happened in 2014. They debuted in 2012.
That's the thing is And in that show, in his podcast now, it has very much become like I don't unsubscribe it because every once in a while there's a topic that I'm like, yes. But I do mark a lot of them as played now and don't listen to the whole thing because or listen to any of it if I look at the topic because he does have his playlist or his five moves of doom of podcasting, if you will. And one of them, like he had about three of them in that he dropped that sound like wisdom and are wisdom if you're paying attention to the program and can actually say why there's been no story build. But like he didn't say, I've been watching this I've been watching the WWE for the last 2 years. And I don't see the story that they're trying to tell with these guys because they haven't really put them together in any meaningful way. He just was given three names. Conrad hyped it up because he, you know, is Conrad Thompson. I'm excited about every match in the history of ever. And Bischoff riffed off of that and exposed it. And it's why, like, I wanted to ask about the whole, and his name is not Edge anymore, and it's Cope, but Cope and Moxley, like why we needed to have that spot?
No, we didn't. Although Bully Ray actually seemed to think we did, which really surprised me. But
and just again, like it's why I don't argue very much about AEW being violent just to be violent because I don't watch it. So maybe there's a storyline reason that the feud got to the point where we needed to bust out a ridiculous prop with nails to drop Jon Moxley on because he's not all right in the brain. It would seem like when it comes to taking risks in the ring, like I don't get that, but you know, there's some dude who has posted about six memes about how great that match is on Facebook. So I think his last name is Goings or something. He needs to going away. But anyway, back to Bischoff. That kills your credibility, man. Like, it proves that you haven't been watching anything. It kills your credibility when you criticize AEW because it tells me you don't actually know what's going on.
Right. It's like I used to listen to podcasts even on our network, and I'd be like, don't talk about AEW if you don't watch AEW is what I would tell them. Like, well, people want to hear about it. I'm like, but you're telling me how you're talking about it, that you actually don't know what you're talking about. And that's what I get out of this from Eric Bischoff. Eric Bischoff just doesn't like triple threat matches. And that's his only basis for what he's saying here. Not realizing this is going to be one of the most well-built triple threat matches ever in WWE. Like when Roman Reigns showed up on Raw at Madison Square Garden, pulled Seth Rollins out of the cage, thus giving him the win in the cage match, where all they did was kick out a finisher, so AEW fans would have to be happy. So he wins, and he's beating the crap out of out of Seth Rollins on the floor, about to kill him like Rollins tried to do by doing the stomp on the stairs. Everyone does the stomp now, by the way. Roman's doing it. Moxley did it in AEW. Everybody's doing the stomp. And then he turns and sees Paul Heyman in the cage with CM Punk. So now Roman Reigns goes in the cage and beats the crap out of CM Punk, who, by the way, helped him out at War Games. Thus, he owes him a favor. That goes back to November. And that's the shortest term issue in this whole feud. It's like, what are we even, how is this a bad thing? I don't understand. And not only that, you talk about who, like, first of all, he talks about, will Roman Reigns benefit from this match? Let me ask you this question. Who on the entire roster could elevate Roman Reigns? Not a single person. Roman Reigns could get his rematch with
Roman Reigns to elevate others.
Exactly. Roman could get his rematch with Cody Rhodes at this WrestleMania, beat him clean in the center of the ring, and is not elevating Roman Reigns at all. In fact, there's not many people in the company, except for Roman Reigns, that could elevate CM Punk or Seth Rollins, in my opinion. Like, that's where those guys are at, you know, and all the people arguing to add Drew McIntyre to the match because they don't want to see Drew McIntyre versus Damian Priest. When that feud goes back an entire year, it's just absurd to me. Like, this is the perfect match for all three guys. And I thought CM Punk was going to wrestle Logan Paul because that's the direction they were going in the build up to the Royal Rumble. This is obviously good. I am going to say it on the air right now. And I think I tweeted it or I commented it somewhere in Facebook. I don't know. When we finally do predictions, it'll be in my predictions. Paul Heyman will leave that match with Seth Rollins at WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah.
That to me is the finish.
Makes all the sense in the world.
That to me is the finish that is going to just, because then you've got all three of these, because Paul Heyman only attaches himself to like top stars, except for Cesaro, but Curtis Axel. But it's, you know, it completely, unless Brock Lesnar shows up in the match, which would also be amazing. I think Paul Heyman leaves that match with Seth Rollins, completely shocking both CM Punk and Roman Reigns. To me, that's how it has to go. And maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. I don't know. Maybe he leaves with Punk. I just don't think he's leaving with Roman. And it's just like, this is, it's going to main event night one. I'm over the women not main eventing night one because of what they're doing there. And so I'm fine. But these comments by Eric Bischoff, it's like, dude, just hang it up, man. Just like talk, just stop talking about the current product. Because I know it gets ratings, I know it gets views, I know it gets listens, but like at some point there's going to be diminishing returns because more and more people are going to realize, well, I say that, more and more people are going to realize you know what the fuck you're talking about. Dave Meltzer's been doing this shit for like 30 years. So
yeah, people still pay for always, that. It's the same thing. Like all of these folks have a built-in base of loyalty that is quite strong. Much like, you know, our wrestling companies that we like to talk about so much too. Like I just, it's funny, that guy I just mentioned, like he popped up on my Facebook again talking about how morale is great at AEW. Everything's falling apart at the WWE. People would prefer an All In Texas moment over a WWE WrestleMania moment. So I blocked him.
Folks are real, and I comment this all the time because there's one group that will keep sharing these things, talk about how stupid it is. And I was like, you do realize when you continue to share these and talk about them, they are winning. Half these people are literally posting it, not because they believe it, just because they want to get a reaction. They think they're part of the show. And yeah, all they're doing is enabling them by talking about it.
But my point to this all is like, you know, Conrad's built up enough of his reputation as the podcast nostalgia fueled wrestling podcast guru that Bischoff's audience comes along with it, that's not going away. And those people will remain even if their numbers drop. You know, Vince Russo has a fucking podcast following, like, and everything he does is just, bro, everything Triple H is doing is terrible. And I wouldn't book this. The territory would be way bigger if I was running it, bro. Triple H doesn't know what he's doing. Okay. Bro. Even busted open. Like, it's all there's a core that will keep them on the air and going for quite some time. And I know you like Bully.
I don't like Bully.
Oh, you don't? I thought you did.
I don't like anyone or dislike anyone. The only one who I've pretty much liked everything they've talked about is JBL. I do what I always do and just evaluate the take, the comment, the show on its own merit. I will tell you, and I have on this program talked about when WWE hasn't been good, and I've talked about the things that AEW has done that have been good. When it applies, it doesn't always apply. So,
was dropping Jon Moxley on a baseball bat with hundreds of nails, was that good?
No, but I so far have been the only person that I found that pointed out the heroic job that Wheeler Yuta did. Because I obviously was not supposed to get stuck in Jon Moxley's back, right? So Wheeler Yuta sees what's going on, gets the referee involved. The referee's getting help. Wheeler Yuta then goes out of the ring and basically tells Cope, powerbomb me through a table, and they work up to the spot. He was just buying time for them to get the thing out of Moxley's back. Like, no one, to me, the larger thing is like, Wheeler Yuta saved the fucking day.
That's quick thinking. Quick go.
Yes. By Wheeler. Good on Wheeler Yuta. Someday will be a producer for WWE. He's never going to make it to the top. Look at the producers now, right? Kenny Dykstra, Sean Daivari, like the producers, Bobby Roode, who's, you know, was the mid-carder at best in WWE, like Abyss, who everyone knows I hate, Adam Pearce, Nick Aldis. Like, a lot of the producers, and I'm leaving Jamie Noble, like, a lot of the people who are producers for WWE today never ascended to the top of the business. And I am, and even in NXT,
And that dates back to even only before Lorcan. Then, right?
Yeah.
Like, Tony Garea.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he
was, like, a world champion level performer, but that was back in the old Madison
Square Garden. But he was a terrific tag team world champion performer. But anyway, I mean, him and Rick Martel, they took over the world.
Like, Rick Martel, if he were involved in the business, would probably be a hell of a producer.
I had to explain to some folks that Rick Martel is not involved in the business anymore. The other day, actually.
It's so funny because, like, everyone just assumes that he's not in the Hall of Fame because of WWE, and they don't realize some people just don't want to go in. And Rick Martel is like, I'm good, bro. Yeah. Like, I'm good.
He is. Yeah. I had to explain, like, he has, cause somebody was like, oh, he has a Twitter account though. He posts on Twitter and he retweets.
It's not even him.
No. So I was like, it's not him. It's somebody that he said, I don't care. Go ahead. Tweet whatever.
And the person has even said that on Twitter.
Right. Like they posted it up there. Rick Martel, when he got out of the business injuries just ended his career, like, he became a real estate agent and moved on with his life.
Not only that, he is a wildly successful commercial real estate agent.
Yes. Yes.
Like, he's not like a Scott DeMoret, because Scott DeMoret is a wildly successful real estate person, but also has this strong desire to be in the business. Rick Martel, not so much. So, and that's fine. Not everybody.
He had his good run and he's done.
Exactly.
He's politely declined any interview opportunity that's been given his way. I think the biggest news that came along was, didn't something happen with his son or something? I can't even remember. But, like, he briefly showed up in some
report. He did,
But it was him.
I know what you're talking
about. Connected tangentially. Like, it had nothing to do with, like, him himself.
I do think he'll go in the Hall of Fame someday. I hope it's not posthumously, but you just never know. I mean, Luger's going in now, like, it's all gravy. Right. But, it's just kind of crazy to think about some of the things that people talk about.
Oh, is this that there was a picture of him? Like, they caught a picture of him somewhere. And people were like, look at Rick Martel. And I was like, okay, there he is.
There's Rick Martel. All right, we're going to go commercial again. We're going to come back. I've got another one to talk about. It'll be lots of fun, I promise.
This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore. everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Usually I just come back and play something, but this popped up in my feed again, and it's been passed around through so many people through Instagram DMs. Every time I hear it, it just makes me laugh so much. And so I hope whoever's listening finds great joy in this. If so, please let us know. But it's a couple minutes long, but I think it's also very timely. Hang on. Okay.
Hello?
I have just one question for you. Are you ready?
Am I ready for what? Who's this?
Are you ready for this Sunday night when WWE Champ John Cena defends his title in the WWE Super Slam? Right now you can earn this awesome pay-per-view event for just $59.99.
I'm sorry, no, there is not any chance in hell that we're ever going to have wrestling in this house again. But thank you, but no. Have a good day.
Have a good day.
Hello?
And goodbye to anyone standing in John Cena's way when he takes on six men in a steel cage chutes and ladders match at WWE Super.
Oh, there's more.
Order now and save $10.
There's two more.
$49.99.
Sir, you guys just called me, and as I mentioned before, we're not ordering this, so please stop calling my house. Thank you and goodbye.
Stop answering the phone, lady.
I know.
Hello?
Hi, can I speak to Champ?
Who?
Champ? Is Champ there?
Who is Champ?
That question will be answered this Sunday night!
Listen, hey! Hey, sir!
Taking
please
on Sheamus!
Quit calling my house!
The Undertaker!
Quit calling me!
CM Punk and even Triple H and the Big Show in a spit swapping makeout match!
Holy
WWE Super!
Listen! Hello? Hello? Can you stop screaming in your little sirens and whatever that is? Can you knock it off for 5 seconds? Not interested. Stop calling my fucking house. I swear to Jesus, if this is those wrestling f***s again.
Okay, good morning. Hi, I'm just calling this morning to ask if you're a supporter of the United States military.
Oh, my God, I apologize. We've been getting called all morning. I apologize, true. And yes.
Fantastic.
Yes, I am.
Great. Are you a supporter of the Marine Corps?
Yes, absolutely.
Good.
Absolutely.
Great, because a former decorated member of the United States Marine Corps needs your support.
And his name is John Cena! He's gonna get in the ring and put boots to asses!
You? Are you kidding me right now?
I love that so much. Like, it just brings joy to my life. Like, it's amazing. It's probably fake, right? The whole thing was probably worked. I don't care. It just made me so happy. Like, it popped up. I heard it years ago, and it popped up, and then it got passed around a bunch of DMs, and I'm like, this is the greatest thing ever. Like, I can't tell you how many times I've listened to it since this weekend when it came up, and it's fucking amazing. So, yeah.
Gotta go with the classics, man.
Gotta go with the classic. So, Patrick O'Dowd, here's another headline. And this one really got me. Now we're going into wrestling news and the issues with wrestling news and all that. Yes, yes, yes. So the headline is how Tony Khan helped top AEW star land movie role. Okay. We read that again.
Okay.
How Tony Khan helped top AEW star land movie role. I'm not going to name the author. I know the person. I like the person. And from what I understand, he doesn't write his headlines. The website writes the headlines, right? So, but again, how Tony Khan helped top AEW star land movie role. It goes in, talks about the movie Queen of the Ring, starring Mildred Burke, is in theaters, blah, 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 blah. And it talked about how Toni Storm was in the movie playing the character Clara Mortensen. And it talked about Tony Khan, this says Tony Khan reached out to Ash Avildsen, or I think it was a producer director, I don't know, to suggest Storm for a role in the movie due to her incredible acting ability. Okay.
Now, let me read you Tony Khan's quote from the Battleground podcast, okay? Very first sentence. Patrick, our very first sentence. I talked to Ash at the beginning when he was working on this movie. Here come the three key words. He asked me about casting Tony Storm.
Oh, yeah.
He asked me about casting Tony Storm. Not I pitched Tony Storm to star in the movie.
Right.
He asked me. He then goes on to say, Tony Storm is the greatest actress in Hollywood. So I am very supportive of it. We have other people in AEW involved in the product, but or in the project, Tony Storm is AEW World Women's Champion, which she wasn't at the time. First and foremost, she's the person I think of when I think of Hollywood. And then I think of when I think of pro wrestling, and they fit like a glove. And he basically says he reached out to me about it and I worked around the schedule. Does right. anything in that quote say that Tony Khan helped Tony Storm land the role?
Let's see. No.
Absolutely no. not.
Like, because. And here's the thing, is if Tony Khan had led with, hey, he asked me to give him some names, suggest some people, even then, while not exactly the strongest, I got Tony Storm a role.
Right.
Like, but if the dude asked about Tony Storm by name.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's.
And he wanted Tony Storm.
That's like, a no for me, dog.
No yeah, it's and Tony doesn't even say that he got her the role in the quote.
No.
And here's the thing. I was giving the author, John Canton, now I'll name him because I realize what he did here, the benefit of the doubt when I say he didn't write the headline. But he did write the sentence. Khan reached out to Ash Avildsen to suggest Storm for a role in the film due to her acting ability. And that's bullshit.
Right.
Because literally, the first sentence, I talked to Ash in the beginning when he was working on the movie. He asked me about casting Tony Storm. He
WWE called me.
Oh. Yes. Exactly.
I'm a stand-up guy, so I told him about Tony Storm.
Right. Like, it's just so stupid.
She got bumped for, I don't know. I lost it.
I know, right? I wasn't even good enough for heels. I wasn't even good enough to be on heels. Yeah, like, it's just. And he was using it because of her gimmick. Because of the Timeless Tony Storm gimmick. Because Timeless Tony Storm is a Hollywood actress.
And it gives the look. That they like from the time period, like you can see how the makeup was, hair and makeup was going to be done. And it's not like Tony Storm was the only AEW talent that was in that movie.
You had Camille, you had, I mean, Naomi's in the movie, like there's WWE talent in the movie.
Yes.
Like, it's absurd. Like, it's absurd.
And I don't know if, I mean, I've heard the movie's fine.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything about it. To be perfectly honest with you. I haven't heard anything about it either way. So
right. That's what I mean, is, like, it's fine.
By the way, CM Punk and AJ Lee, phenomenal in heels. Like, absolutely phenomenal. They're playing wrestlers, so it's not that hard. But Ricky Rabies, right. Which is CM Punk's wrestler in the movie, hilarious. Like the whole thing is great. El Dorado, which is AJ Lee's character. She's more of like the woman veteran who helps out the young woman who wrestles for the wrestling league. Like, still, top notch stuff. Like very well done, very well done indeed. So, it was interesting. There was an article that I read after I was pissed off, trying to see if I could find any indication of what was supposed to happen if there was a season three. And the only thing I found was Stephen Amell talking about how hard it was to film season two because it was filmed right at the heart of COVID. And I wondered why James Harrison disappeared from the program. And I found that it's because he didn't like all the COVID protocols. He was like, I've got millions and millions of dollars. I'm just going to go chill at home. So, because he was an NFL football player. Great character in season one. But very, very well done in general. So,
Now I can breathe after that bullshit. So that's
really. Can we talk about our favorite internet wrestling guy saying that AEW? What was that tweet?
Oh God, were they more profitable this year than WCW ever was?
Will easily top WCW in any specific year.
I don't even know. You got to realize, like, at the height of the NWO, they were selling out house shows. On top of now, here's the problem, right? This is where this is like the idiots who will still post today that Dynamite beat Raw in the cable ratings.
Right.
When Raw is not on cable anymore, it's on Netflix. Like, WCW never had a TV contract. So they were never bringing in TV dollars. They were literally given a budget to produce television. And then they also ran house shows. They also ran this and that. So he may be right. It may be possible.
On the technicality of comparing apples to pomegranates.
It's not even apples to it's apples to fucking boulders. Like, it's just literally not anything.
You can't tell me, even the Georgia Dome year, the Georgia Dome, you know, the 98, right? Hogan and Goldberg. Like, that's the fucking Georgia Dome.
Right, but that doesn't compare to TV contract money.
No, but that's what I'm saying is, like, because you, like, using the TV contract money and the profitability thing to act as if, because the narrative, because anytime we're talking about money that was brought in, like, it's a narrative that's designed to point one product to being superior to the other. And so you're saying AEW is so great and their profit this year is going to top anything the WCW ever did, while patently ignoring what WCW was, as you were pointing out, at the peak of the NWO, when, you know, with a TV contract, who knows what their money would have been, right? When, and then you look at, like, follow the arenas, follow the attendance. Before WCW fell apart, like, they weren't just filling the Knickerbocker Arena for a Monday Nitro. They're filling the fucking Georgia Dome. That's an NFL stadium. Or no, that's not an NFL stadium. I'm sorry, Alec.
Right.
That's a big fucking stadium, though. Like,
yeah. And they sold, I think, it maybe like 30,000, like 20,000. Like, I'm trying to think of Monday Nitro, Georgia Dome. Let's look up attendance.
That was an impossible ticket to get for a really long time.
It wasn't, because they didn't even announce it till the week before.
No, not to Georgia Dome. I'm talking about just in general. Like,
They were selling out house shows. Georgia Dome had the attendance, and of course, we'll talk about sold or whatever, 41,412 people in attendance. For a Nitro. I don't think Raw's ever had that for a Raw. Now, you've heard me say it. I think Raw after Mania should be in the same football stadium as WrestleMania. I think SmackDown should be in the same thing. Like, at this point, SmackDown should be on Thursday WrestleMania week, and WrestleMania should be three nights, but no one's ready for that conversation. Because it's just how fucking loaded the roster is right now, and how, where they're, what they could do and what they could produce. Like, that's just my opinion. No one's going to care. Neither do I. But, here's the thing. The height of WCW Monday Nitro was pushed, of course, by the NWO. Okay. Hogan, Nash, Hall with the original group. It got oversaturated. It did whatever it did, but that was in 1996 is when the NWO debuted. Well, it is now 29 years later. We're a couple months away from the 29-year anniversary of the NWO. People still buy NWO t-shirts.
Yep.
Because of the NWO, WWE had to change everything they were doing. Austin 316 was born, all of that. Is there one thing happening in AEW right now that will be relevant and talked about in 30 years? Let alone still selling merch. No.
Absolutely not. So you can claim they're more successful financially on a technicality, just like that's just as valid as saying Dynamite is being Raw in the cable ratings. That's literally equivalent. Those two statements are equivalent of each other and how stupid and off base they are. It's absolutely absurd. Now, Meltzer may have been asked. I think Meltzer was replying to something, if I were to go back and look.
Yeah, it was.
You said so.
The question, if WCW hadn't lost so much, they'd still exist, wouldn't they? ? However, during their few years peak, they must have profited more than AEW ever has, unless the roster was way overpaid at the time. And so, and to Meltzer's response to that was AEW's profit this year will easily top WCW. And, you know, getting into, again, the point that we're making, it's just not a good comparison.
Right. And Meltzer was just answering a question. He didn't lead out with that on his own. Now, could Meltzer have said, well, now look at what we're comparing. You're not comparing apples to apples here. You're not even comparing apples to oranges or apples to pomegranates. You're comparing apples to baseball bats.
And this is my problem in general with this approach, and it's the social media approach to anything. The social media approach doesn't allow for nuance anyway.
Right.
But Dave never does it. Like, he never really does it. And that's unfortunate.
Dave's not very nuanced in general. Now, right. It brings up the idea, like, does Dave have a responsibility to do that? I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and claim Dave has any responsibility to the wrestling fans. Dave has a job, and his job is to make money, right? It's a business to him, just like it should be to everybody else. So I just can't buy into that argument. I just can't, whatever, sit here and claim that Dave has a higher level of responsibility than what he's doing. So fuck all that. Like, I'm just not going to make those claims those conversations.
You've never been the high horse guy. That's always been me.
Yes. I just, because the high horse at the end of the day, sometimes, not all the time, but in my opinion, most of the time, the high horse is just a different form of overreaction. And there's a lot of people high horse for virtue signaling and clout chasing and all that. And so it's not always coming from the most genuine of places anyway. So, and I'm not saying that's everybody, but that's what I've seen. And so I just don't concern myself with it. And that's just a personal choice. But it's just a stupid comparison to make. And for people to run with that, and I'm sure they did run with it. I mean, that's just what people do. So it's just idiotic. Like, I'd much rather talk about, you know, how absurd this is.
They are now the two-time.
Let's do this. Hey, hang on. Oh, I got an idea. Let's see if I can pull this off a little bit here.
Oh, boy.
Let's see what we can do.
I don't know how I feel about this.
They are now the two-time.
Yeah, that one's too loud.
By 4 years and wave one.
Now I got too many things to turn off. Hang on.
That long without tag gold, a team as good as the street.
I wanted to lay them on top of each other. Obviously, didn't pre-plan that.
No, I got you.
That's still better than talking about WCW or AEW being more profitable this year than WCW's peak year. Like, it's just whatever. Nothing. Here's the thing. The Elite was a copy of the NWO. Like, right. 30 years from now, we'll still see NWO and Austin 316 shirts. Like, we won't see, we might see the AEW logo shirt, like the original logo. That's about it. Like, it's
going to be. And it'll be a one-off sale during a special edition WWE Raw where they switch the logos over for.
Because it happened to be in Jacksonville. Right.
Right.
And not at Daly's Place. It'll be in the biggest arena in Jacksonville.
And Tony Khan will be the general manager of Raw.
Could you imagine? That won't happen because Tony Khan's too prideful and he doesn't need the money. Because he literally lives on his dad's boat right now. So, yeah, it's just so fucking stupid. Like, literally, absolutely crazy.
It's good times. I needed this. I needed.
I was going to do this before that.
You have 3 minutes, and you better make it good.
We got 3 minutes that we're out of here. The clock is ticking, and we're in the clear. We got 3 minutes that we're out of here. We got 3 minutes that we're out.
Jacob Fatu is the most is the closest thing we have to 3 minute warning right now, in my opinion.
Right.
Like, he was what Rosie and Jamal were before they went off the rails and became the superhero in training and everything else. So, granted, the more comparison that everyone's going to make is, of course, Umaga. And that's fine. But and I love Jacob Fatu. And I'll be interested to see what they do with them at WrestleMania, because we've got to have 87 matches at WrestleMania this year to get everybody in. But it shouldn't be 3 nights long. So, yeah, who the hell knows? But... yeah, that's wrestling. That's a podcast.
Yeah, as I yawn.
Some good
right
shit
in the podcast.
So follow Patrick O'Dowd at Wrestling Realist. That's WrestlingRealist. There's no I in wrestling, but there is one in Realist. There is one in Patrick, and there is one in friend for the best friend, the Wrestling Realist, Patrick O'Dowd. Follow me at GregDeMarco44. Follow the website at Chairshot Media. For all the best podcasts, all the best articles, your best coverage, everything else and more at thechairshot.com. It's sports, it's entertainment, it's sports entertainment, it's thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Pick up one of those beautiful chair shot t-shirts, because wrestling websites don't grow on trees. And if you're local in Arizona, go to izwtix.com, pick up your tickets, like a bunch of people did today. We always get those random days where there's a run on tickets for IZW Legends Never Die, May 10th, Bullshooters. It'll be a blast. Patrick O'Dowd, you got more NCAA tournament action. Of course, you don't have the number of the 16 games like you did yet last week on Thursday and Friday, but it's still going to be good shit. So we appreciate you all listening. Have fun. Enjoy the wrestling. We are on the road to WrestleMania. It's the most wonderful time of the year and for a wrestling fan. So enjoy the last time you'll ever get to see John Cena on his heel run and so much more. Enjoy what Eric Bischoff doesn't, which is the triple threat between CM Punk, Seth Rollins, and Roman Reigns, because it's going to be a roller coaster ride. It's going to be a lot of fun. And enjoy this, because it makes me laugh.
Hello?
I have just one question for you. Are you ready?
Am I ready for what? Who's this?
Are you ready for this Sunday night when WWE Champ John Cena defends his title in the WWE Super Slam? Right now you can order this off the pay-per-view event for just $59.99.
I'm sorry, no, there is not any chance in hell that we're ever going to have wrestling in this house again. But thank you, but no. Have a good day.
Have a good day. She said again, wrestling in this house again.
Hello?
And right. Goodbye to anyone standing in John Cena's way when he takes on six men in a steel cage shoots and ladders match at WWE.
Steel cage shoots and ladders match.
Order now and save $10.
You are way more enamored with this than I am.
So you guys can call me, and as I mentioned before, we're not ordering this, so please stop calling my house. Thank you and goodbye.
Thank you and goodbye. She keeps answering.
Hello?
Yes. Hi, can I speak to Champ?
Champ?
Who?
Champ?
Champ? Is Champ there?
Who is Champ?
That question will be answered this Sunday night!
Listen, hey! Hey, sir!
Taking
please
on Sheamus,
quit calling my house!
The Undertaker!
Quit calling me!
CM Punk and even Triple H in the Big Show in a spit-swapping makeout match! WWE Super
Listen! Hello? Hello? Can you stop screaming in your little sirens?
Your little sirens?
Can you knock it off for 5 seconds? Not interested. Stop calling my f***ing house.
Why did she answer? Because it's for a bit, but why does she answer?
She gives a couple of rings this time.
Yeah.
I swear to Jesus.
I swear to Jesus.
Those wrestling f***s again.
Okay, good morning. Hi. I'm just calling this morning to ask if you're a supporter of the United States military.
Which,
oh my God!
Right there,
I apologize.
I
We've been
phone.
Getting called all morning. I apologize.
Like
and, yeah,
that. You say like if you get something like that,
great.
It's like,
are you a supporter of the Marine Corps?
Yes. Absolutely.
It's obviously a radio guy.
Great, because a former decorated member of the United States Marine Corps needs your support.
And his name is John C. Are you going to get in the ring and put boots to asses?
You? Are you kidding me right now?
Oh, all right. That, it just ends abruptly. It's like heels. So, yeah. I'll never get over it. I will never, ever, ever get over it. So, all right, that's the show. We hope you enjoyed it. I should have just ended with that, but then we're talking. So enjoy wrestling. We'll see you all next time. Enjoy this, the Street Profits theme song.
Taking it all. Settle the score. No, I will not take a loss. Taking it all. We don't kick in the door. Dropping you down to the floor. We taking it all.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Auto Parts.